Well, good morning, everyone. As you're doing something, do you ever hear that voice? That clamoring, that little whisper, even? Do you ever wish for that do-over? God, I shouldn't have done that or done it that way. Or do you ever wonder why you literally do what you do as far as your choices? I do. And it has just happened again, comes to me this morning, that why in the world did I choose this week to bring a message to all of you? I could have chosen a week when maybe just talk about the cute little baby in the basket. You know, we're talking about Moses. That would have been a nice little one. I could have chosen, why don't we just tune up the Ten Commandments with good old Chuck Heston for about 15 minutes. It's got everything. It's got the burning bush. It's got the snake and the staff. It's got the tablets. It's got Pharaoh. Think Yul Brynner. You probably can't get that out of your mind now. That would have all been pretty simple. Easy peasy. But no, I had to choose to grab the week to follow a Scott Parr drama. But aha, I want you to understand this part. I was walking into church, it's probably about 3 weeks ago, Wednesday night. Scott's out in the narthex, and I had seen his preliminary draft, and I wanted to ask him for his final version because I was interested in tagging into what was going to go on with the drama and have it connect into some of what I wanted to give you to think about this morning. And so I approached Scott, and if any of you have ever asked Scott a question, and I say this with all respect, you're going to get an answer. Sometimes a long answer, but it's an answer. And when I asked Scott this, I didn't just ask him, you know, share the drama and maybe your notes of what you're looking at, but I asked him this. What's your motivation in doing this? What's your hope? What message are you trying to get across? He did send me off track for a moment. When he looked at me, as Scott can sometimes look at you, and he's looking at me like this just right now, he said, boils. Joy, perhaps that was the toughest part of that whole drama, was this thing about boils. The word, it's kind of like gout. You know, these words need, we could use some different words, but my point is, not a different message. Scott told me, simply stated, his message this morning in his drama that he wanted to convey is that we are all Israelites. All Israelites. So now think about this. Title of the sermon today, or the message, is commandments to start with. Honestly, do you like to be told exactly what to do? No departure, no latitude, no stretch, absolute commandments where there's no room. There's no wiggle room. So today we're going to talk about not only commandments, but your conscience, the consequences, and then I want to give you some hope too. First, these commandments. There are 10 of them. Note, they are intentionally named commandments. Not suggestions, not recommendations, not when you feel like it, not if it just works for you, not if it fits once in a while. It's all up to you. Choose if you want. No, they're called commandments by design. There are 10. But is there one for you? That one commandment that you know about in your core that's elusive, it's tough. It's the one that challenges you. I want to take some liberty here using one of what I think is one of the greatest bands of all time, Chicago. Maybe you've heard of them. They had a song, and here's the risk now. I'm going to give you a song worm for the day. You're not going to be able to get rid of it. The song they had was called Hard Habit to Break. Got it playing already in your head? Instead of getting easier, it's the hardest thing to take. I'm addicted to, and that's a hard habit to break. How do you fill in that blank? Instead of getting easier, it's the hardest thing to take. I'm addicted to, and that's a hard habit to break. I do respect that this is very individual. I really totally respect the fact that the behaviors we display, the actions we take, these addictions that we can have, these deep-seated things at our core, the factors we live with that are so harsh and difficult and deeply, deeply personal, to bring and bear on us day after, they're real. They're real challenges for all of us. I have them, you have them, but you need to know, and you likely do know, but I want to declare it and state it, you're not alone. God knows them. He wired you with them. And let's talk frankly about the manner in which he clearly lets us know that we're not alone and that we need to be listening to those whispers regarding our actions. It's found in our conscience. I began this message with the thought of that voice that when you're in the midst of something, you hear it. Sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes you almost can feel the nudge. Do you get it? Do you feel that when you're about to do something or even in the midst of something, it hits you? I enjoy this definition of the word integrity. Integrity is what you're doing when no one is watching. I had an example of this earlier this month. Now, I don't know if this is two words or one word, but it is my nemesis, apple crisp. There it was, warm from the oven, sitting on the counter. Joni had put it there. She had walked away at just the perfect time, warm from the oven, left it there. How can I eat some of that? Or really, how can I even hammer that and not leave a trail? Not leave any, you know how you just take a little, oh, she'll never miss it, see this. Well, there you have it, temptations. And I gave you a trite one. But they're there. They're always there. And when you think about it, they are really at the root of our ways and our behaviors. The things with all good intention we have in mind which still get to us, cause us to act and behave in ways that are counter to what we know is what we should be doing, in our gut, what that right path is. Temptations. In fact, well, the Lord's Prayer, we just said it together. It calls out that human reality. And lead us not into temptation. I wonder if that had connection to the commandments, that we knew we would be tempted because of our human realities. So conscience, I bring you that as a follow-up to commandments, and I want to stretch your thinking for just a moment. We have a great gift. It's called the gift of discernment. Discernment is the gift of thought. Thought leads to decisions. Decisions lead to choices. Choices we make lead to actions. Actions lead to results and outcomes. Consequences. They can be bad, and they can be good. Simply stated, with consequences, I want you to think about it this way, and this isn't easy to say and hard to do. Own it. Own what is yours to own. A favorite phrase I have is sometimes when it feels like you're in that hole and it's just getting deeper and you're going farther and farther and farther, stop digging. Stop digging in the hole. That's how you can turn it around. Often we talk here in church, and I believe in this, grace. Grace is good. Grace was described once to me, and I've never forgotten this. Grace is what you receive that you don't deserve. It's right there for you, for the asking and for the receiving. A few years ago, I'm reminded of an adult education series we had here at our church. It was called Forgiveness. We were at a tough time in the history of our church. We had been embroiled in a conflict. And I found that to be what I thought, as I look back now, was a real crossroads. How were we going to be? What were we going to do? How to get that in the rearview mirror and start looking more in our windshield, but not forgetting what it had meant to many. The series we used at that time around forgiveness took a lot of the themes and teaching from an author called T.D. Jakes. Maybe you've heard of him. His book was called Let It Go. That was the basis for our work. The book Let It Go, by the way, there's your second song, where he used Let It Go before Idina Menzel did. In Frozen, I'm pretty sure. But I want to bring you this because he talks about an approach that in spite of what we do or what has been done to us by others, we have some decisions to make on how we're going to go forward. And this is my connection from commandments, conscience, consequences to hope of what's ahead. I want to read this to you. It's from his book when he talks specifically about hope. Where do I begin? Without questions, we are denied the chance to learn, to know, to grow. It begins early, and I like this little phrase here. The toddler-sized attorney who asks incessantly, why, and it gets tougher when they become a teenager. But he asks us to do this, to ask yourself if you've had enough. Are you at that lowly low? Are you in a trough, in the trench, in the hole? How did I get to this point in my life? Is this where I want to be? Is this how I want to be? And am I really living the life that I can, that I should, that I was meant to live? And he ends with this, I challenge you to make an honest assessment of yourself, honestly. End of his segment from the book. Now I'm going to date myself here for a moment. The Ed Sullivan Show, variety show back in the day. One of my favorite acts from that show was the plate spinner. You know the one, they've got the stick and they got the plates on the, and there's probably 20 or 30 plates. And oh, the crowd was so, they're spinning the plates and of course the momentum dies and the performer's over here, no, go right over there, and they run over just in time and keep the plates spinning. With me on the visual of that? What's that remind you of? How about your life? You got a few plates spinning? I do, you do, your days are full. Lots of challenges, lots of things to tackle. But what I think about is that gerbil wheel that we're all in regarding these plates spinning. But what if you just had 10 plates? 10 commandments. And on top of that, what if there was one to focus on? That one that's elusive to you. Something that you could do something about if you chose to. Baby steps, eat the elephant, but how do you begin? I love to mow my lawn. I love to snow blow my driveway. Okay, Bill, in a couple months, I got some work for you. Come on over. But when you mow your lawn, and the all-important diagonal mow, you know the one I'm talking about, where you want it to look like Target Field, how do you begin that? Well, in my case, I focus on a pine tree, or the cottonwood tree, or the block wall at our neighbor's. By the way, it's the third block over on the top, to be precise. But the reason I mention that to you is you take aim at where you want to go. You take aim at what you may have heard is the phrase, the end in mind. Where do I want to be? So whether it's setting your focus or your spinning plates or the things you just have to let go of, there is one commandment I'd ask you to think about starting to get on top of, and that's personal to you. And I like to think back to the drama. There were negative people in that drama, what we didn't have. There were positive people in that drama about what's possible. The negative said things like what we can't do. Maybe that's one way for you to look at the Ten Commandments, what you can't do. On the other hand, the positive people were looking at what we can do. So how about looking at the Ten Commandments in that way? What it allows us to enjoy and to thrive with. During this series on Moses that you've seen over the last few weeks here at Crosswinds, there's also been a parallel study taking place where we have been meeting and utilizing a reference by Adam Hamilton, who's the senior pastor at Church, the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in the Kansas City area. Christy, can you hold up the book for me right there? I forgot to bring it with me. Thank you, Vanna. Here's the book and what it looks like. The title of the book, thank you, Christy, pretty simple. Moses. But there's more. Under the Moses are these words.
in the footstep of the reluctant prophet. We've learned that Moses was reluctant. Do you remember this from the portrayal that Joel had of Moses? "You know, God, you certainly do ask a lot of me. I told you right from the beginning that I was not the right man for this job. I don't use words very well, and I am old and tired. I just don't think that I can keep doing this. I am both mentally and physically fatigued. And now, after all that I've done for you as your servant, you write these Ten Commandments on stone tablets and expect me to deliver them to your people." From Hamilton's book, this little excerpt. In Exodus 20 to 24, it's described as a six-day period when God's glory covered the top of Mount Sinai, during which Moses received the Ten Commandments, as well as some other laws. End of the part from Hamilton's book. Friends, here's some good news for you. Here's some hope. It could be worse. Hamilton shares that there were 613 commandments. The 10 are the ones that God literally etched in the tablets. These are the 10 that talk about how to live and how to behave. So commandments, conscience, consequences, and there is hope. There is hope because you can do this. And here's what I leave you with. Henry Ford, he did okay. Here's a quote from Henry Ford. "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." Let us pray. God of grace, like Moses, we listen for your whispers, for your direction. Let us know when we sometimes feel it that we are not alone. You have set us up for success, but you've also made us human. Give us the courage to overcome temptations, give us the character to trust our conscience, and give us the confidence to live the life that you would have for us. There are 10. We know the one. Let us know and feel that you are there with us. You are good. You are good always and in always. Amen.